Hi, welcome everybody. Welcome back to the Be Healthy Summit and welcome Dr. Scirocco.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. The owner of Heart to Heart Medical Center in Santa Rosa, California since 1993, Dr. Scirocco is an expert at using many modalities to bring your body to balance and wholeness. She's certified in both acupuncture and functional medicine. Trained in general surgery and working as an emergency room physician for 10 years while attending acupuncture school gave Dr. Scirocco a broad range of medical experience. Her specialty is healing when it seems impossible. She brings hope and healing to difficult health conditions by blending Chinese and Western medicine with a deep spiritual and emotional healing approach. She's the author of the best-selling book, Healing When It Seems Impossible, Seven Keys to Defy the Odds. So Dr. Scirocco, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background? Why do you do what you do?
So the reason that I do what I do is because I believe in miracles. And it all started when I was 5 years old. I was living in Germany and my great grandmother was my very best friend. And my parents had split up, and so my father was not in my life. And my great grandmother was the person who took care of me. And one night I was playing with her and all of a sudden she collapsed on the floor and I couldn't get her up. And so they took her away in an ambulance. And a few days later, my mother came and told me that she had died. And I didn't understand what that meant, but my mom said her heart had stopped beating. And so I, like, of course was devastated because I wasn't ever going to see her again, she said. But at the same time, something happened inside of me, a belief that I could fix it or that I wanted to fix it. And I started to imagine a machine that would make her heart start beating so she would come back to me. And it was on that day that I decided that I was going to be a doctor so that I could fix that. And the first time that I got to save a life officially was when I was in medical school. I was working in the emergency room. And a patient came in with a gunshot wound and we saved his life, like from here to there. And it was so incredible that I wanted to do that. So that's why I went into surgery. And then as a surgical resident, I began to see that even with the best of Western medicine, sometimes people had problems that we didn't understand, things that we couldn't fix. And so my whole life has been this quest to find things that will help people feel better now. And this belief in miracles and wanting people to have miracles of healing. And of course, all tied up with my own quest to healing myself. So it's this journey of looking for healing. So that's why I do what I do.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful story. Sure. So can you please give us a short introduction to Chinese medicine, what it is and how it differs from conventional medicine?
Absolutely. Chinese medicine is based on the idea that you're made up of energy. And back when I was a surgical resident, I hit this crisis point and I had a patient that had some major complications and I was trying to figure out because she was in a lot of pain. And one of the things about acupuncture is that it helps pain. And I didn't know that acupuncture existed, but I remember when I hit this crisis point where I was like, what is going to help my patients not have pain? And somebody gave me this book called The Web That Has No Weaver, which was about acupuncture. And I started reading it. First of all, just fell in love with the whole way that Chinese medicine worked according to this book. And second of all, the whole idea that it helped with pain made me want to study that. So the idea is that you're made up of energy and energy travels through your body in certain patterns. And when your energy is out of balance, there are problems. So then everything is about getting your energy balanced. And it's the foods you eat, the herbs that you take, your attitude, like everything. It's like it encompasses all of who you are, but in particular also one of the tools is acupuncture. And acupuncture is using tiny little needles to help stimulate the energy to go to the right places. So that's sort of a short description of Chinese medicine.
And do you mix both of them? Can they both go together?
I've been mixing Chinese and Western medicine for 30 years. And I think partly because when I left my surgical residency at that point, and I went to work in the emergency room, and then I went to acupuncture school while I was working in the emergency room. So I was kind of a young doctor, and I was doing both at the same time. And so I was still learning medicine, but I was also learning Chinese medicine. And for me, they're like this. There's an overlap with some of the bodily functions, and there's a broad spectrum of possibility with both of them. And so I have always practiced sort of a blend of both. Although I use Chinese medicine, when I meet somebody and they talk to me, how I understand their body is by using Chinese medicine. So.
Wow, that's amazing. So you just watch a person and then you know what to do?
Well, I feel their pulse and I look at their tongue. I ask a lot of questions. So it depends. I can also watch a person and see what imbalances they have, you know, by watching them walk and things like that. But I also talk to them, you know, like I have a whole intake system that I use that helps me understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's one of the missing links in conventional medicine, to just see the individual person and not to treat everybody like the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Scirocco, in your book, you write about the 7 keys to defy the odds. Can you please speak to that? Can you please go a little bit deeper into that? What do you mean by that?
Sure. So I wrote the book because I have gone through many things of my own, but in particular, about 10 years ago, I went through a divorce and it broke my heart. And I call them midlife crises, these big events that happen that change you forever. And that was a big change for me. Like, sort of my whole life fell apart, although in some ways I was still able to be a doctor, you know, so I still had that. But in so many other ways, my whole life fell apart. But most important, who I thought I was fell apart. And what I believed about life, because this man was somebody I believed to be my soulmate. And so the journey of going from heartbreak and bitterness and betrayal to coming alive again and to finding love was connected to the love of the people in my life. And so what healed me was love. So the first key of this book is love, that because not only did it heal me, but I began to discover that the love that I give my patients, the love that is in their lives, the love that we have is the biggest healing force in the world or in the universe. You know, it's the thing that ties everything together. Even your cells, like as I was thinking about it, I began to think, well, our cells too, you know, like each individual cell is connected to the others through the power of love, the force of love. And so that's the most powerful healing force. There's some chemical evidence of that. Oxytocin is the hormone that is connected to love. It's the hormone that is released when you have a baby and you bond to your baby. And it is it's the opposite of cortisol. And cortisol is the hormone that you have when you're ready for fight or flight and when you're stressed. And so you can do things to increase the amount of love in your body and set you up for healing. More importantly, love. If you love your body and you don't feel like it's your enemy, it's a different approach to your whole healing journey. Especially so, my patients tend to be people who have difficult health issues, who have been to 10 doctors and haven't found answers, who have tried everything and haven't found answers. And they usually come in frustrated and upset, and they feel that their body has betrayed them. And in my world, if you feel betrayed and angry at your body, then the foundation of where you're coming from isn't particularly helpful. So I start with love so that you can have a foundation of trust in your body, a foundation of feeling like your body is there for you as your friend. The second key is physical balance. And I take the Chinese and the Western medicine and I bring them together. This is how I practice too. There's what I call the triangle of wellness. And again, I have dealt for many years with problems that don't necessarily have answers. And, you know, the problem with any kind of medicine is that we don't know everything. And so where do you come from when you don't know the answers? And for me, what I do with people is I use this triangle of wellness, which is your hormones, your immune system, and your nervous system. And if your hormones, your nervous system, and your immune system are in balance, if you can get those things functioning, then your body has the tools that it needs to heal. So that's sort of the foundation of getting well. And so many times I've dealt with people who have sort of mysterious illnesses or things that we haven't found the answers for. And even though I'm certified in functional medicine, even in functional medicine, sometimes we don't have the answers. But if you use these tools and you set the body up for getting well, then the body can start to heal. I always put acupuncture in with that as well, because acupuncture is an amazing tool for getting energy flowing. And when you're not well, energy's not necessarily flowing. So I use acupuncture to help people's bodies start to have flow and energy. There's some other elements to the second key, one, like finding the root cause and getting the digestion balance, the digestion being a possible root cause of the imbalance. A lot of people's health issues begin in their digestion and their ability to take in food. The third key is learning to listen to your body. The other key is the fourth key, and they kind of go together. One is learning to listen to your body, and the fourth key is finding your own unique lifestyle. And they kind of go back and forth, because in order to find your own unique lifestyle, you have to sort of listen to your body. And there are lots of things that we already know how to do in listening to our bodies. But the super cool thing that I use in this book is that in Chinese medicine, how the organs work is different than how they work in Western medicine. And for example, the liver regulates the smooth flow of energy in your whole body, and it regulates your menstrual cycles. It also handles toxins and stress. So it's slightly different than Western medicine, and it deals with the emotion of anger. So let's say that you had a stiff neck all the time, or you got migraines, or you had problems with your periods, like you had cramps or PMS or horrible perimenopausal symptoms. Those are all connected to liver imbalance. And by knowing what each organ does in Chinese medicine, then you can go and look at your body and you can go, oh, what's happening to my body? I have these symptoms. That means my liver's out of balance. Or I am really angry all the time, or I get really irritable with certain things. That means your liver is out of balance. And so there's a whole explanation of how to use that in order to listen to your body. And then finding your own unique lifestyle is, there's a million diets, there's a million ways to exercise. How do you choose which one's right for you? You know, so to how to use the different diets. So it doesn't really give you a diet in my book. It gives you tools for finding the right diet for you. And then the fifth key is learning that emotions play a role. So it's called emotional balance. And each organ in Chinese medicine has a emotional function and spiritual functions that are different. Like I said, the liver rules the emotion of anger. The heart rules the emotion of joy. The spleen, which handles your digestion, rules the emotion of worry. And so accepting, especially like over the years, you know, I came from being a surgeon. And so I had no desire or willingness at the time to think that emotions had anything to do with my problems. And so over the years, I learned how much emotions play a role in my own physical issues, but also with various patients over the years, I've learned how much emotions play a role in their physical issues. So the cool thing is that acupuncture balances the energy of your body, and that it also balances your emotions. So in some cases, you know, when you have acupuncture, you can not have to think about your emotions. You can just let your body get balanced, which will balance your emotions, and then you'll be able to just kind of process. So, and then the sixth key is the hero's journey, is the title is Never Give Up. And it comes along later in the book because it's an encouragement. You know, a lot of times when you have a difficult health issue, you want to give up, or you've been like I said, many of my patients have been to like 10 doctors and keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. And so I explain what that entails, like that you're on a hero's journey, that you're on an adventure. If you have, we are used to thinking about, if we're spiritual people, we're used to thinking about all the lessons in our life. Like, we're here to learn certain lessons, right? We're here to learn how to deal with certain people. We're here to maybe create certain things in our lives. And we tend not to think of our bodies as part of that lesson. But if you have a difficult health issue, your body is a part of your spiritual lesson. And whatever that health issue is transforming you. It's changing you. And it changes again, like using love. It changes your perspective on whatever's happening. It becomes an adventure. And the hero's journey, I love hero movies. And in hero movies, there's always a quest. And in this case, the quest would be to get well. And there's always a team. So you get your team of healers together. And there's always some moment where it looks like you're never going to get there. So you get along and you're going along, and I think of The Hobbit because it's cute, but you know, he's going along and there's all these challenges that come along. Some things where it looks like it's going to get worse. And then, you know, finally he triumphs in the end, and all of the hero's journeys are all, they triumph in the end. There's almost no hero story that doesn't, right? Especially in our favorite movies. So that's what the sixth key is about, is to not give up, to keep on persevering. And then the seventh key is to have trusting the process. So if you've been to six doctors, or you've been to all these different healers, or you feel like you're never going to have the answers, even that is a part of the journey. To believe that your spiritual path is your healing, and to believe that your journey is to continue to learn and to grow, and that you trust that even seeing doctors that maybe don't feel like they're helping you, or even having experiences that don't take you to where you, the end result that you're seeking, which is of course to feel better, but that all of that is a tool to help you. You know, I'm a part of an organization that has many healers involved in it. And many of our stories are a journey of our own healing. People who've gone through cancer and healed themselves of cancer. People who've gone through autoimmune disease and healed themselves of that. Dr. Terry Walls, who's one example, she had MS. She was wheelchair bound. She healed herself. You know, so that's, these are the heroes that have already lived these stories, and now they're sharing their stories. And so for some of my patients, it's possible that that's part of their journey. You know, that they're going through this difficult healing thing, and then they come out the other side. I had a patient who I just found out a few days ago, she had hepatitis C while she was seeing me. And she went through this whole thing of healing the hepatitis C with medication and herbs and acupuncture, and I did acupuncture on her for a few years, and she's now helping other people. You know, so she went through that whole journey, and now she's doing things to help other women. And she used to be, I don't want to say the details, but she used to have a different career, and now she's doing things to help women heal themselves, because she had a journey that she went through that helped her, and then she's using that. So that's all seven keys.
Wonderful. What such a beautiful approach. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for
Dr. Scirocco, do you want to share with us what you do yourself for your own self and healthcare on a daily basis?
Sure. I do a lot of things. I exercise probably 4 or 5 days a week. And I do many different kinds of exercise. I do cardio, weightlifting, yoga, Pilates, you know, stretching. I do, like for me, one of the many things that is important is exercise because it helps release energy. And even if I'm injured, I hurt my back a few weeks ago. And even when I was injured, I did some exercise because not moving your body is not good. And so even when you can hardly move, and I could hardly move, I had never had this before. I bent over and I couldn't stand up. And so I'm like, ah, but I still went and exercised, and it helped me recover from the injury. And so exercise is very important. I meditate almost every morning. I have a process that is actually sort of new to me, but it's a thing called a daily clean your house flow, which is some acupressure technique that a friend of mine named Deborah Myers created, that helps energy flow in the body. And it's using like basically certain points and holding them for a few breaths to get energy flowing in your body. So like one of them is this, just to breathe and hold your arms like this. And then there's, it's called the daily clean your house flow. So I do that. That's, like I said, that's relatively new. I eat healthy as much as possible. Because I travel a fair amount, one of the things for traveling and eating in restaurants a lot is that wherever I go, I look for vegetables. So that's like my hint. Eat vegetables wherever you go, get a half a plate full of vegetables, no matter what else you eat. And that will balance the rest of the meal. I have spiritual counselors. I have healers who, you know, energy healers, chiropractors. So I have a whole team of people who help me. Sleep. Amongst all those things, sleep. So getting the right amount of sleep at night. So like basically I've set up my life in a way that helps me do the things that I do to help others. And I named exercise as number one because that's probably the most important thing to me because it helps me move the energy that I take on from others. So.
Yeah, it's so important to just take care of yourself, especially when you work with others. I totally agree. Yeah. Dr. Scirocco, you also wrote about how to age gracefully. Can you please share with us what you mean by that?
Would you believe I'm 75? I'm kidding. First of all, lie about your age, but don't lie down, lie up. I'm kidding. Aging gracefully really is about a lot of different things, but one of them is emotional balance and dealing with emotions. Because what happens as we age, I think, the things that make us old are the sort of the emotions that we accumulate. For example, if I had not healed from the divorce, I have patients. Like I remember this one woman who used to be my patient. She was in her 80s when she first came to me, and her husband had left her when she was 40. And she was still bitter and angry, and she was still carrying that trauma. And I understand heartbreak. You know, I understand that feeling of betrayal so deeply. But when you carry those emotions and those traumas in your body, they stay in your body and they affect your health. So one of the best ways to age gracefully is to free yourself of the things that you've held onto emotionally. And to, of course, eat well and exercise and take care of your body. The healthiest people that I take care of in my years of practice are people who exercise consistently. Diet is important, but the exercise, the movement, because movement releases emotion. So they always say emotion is energy in motion. If it's not in motion, it's not moving, then it gets stuck in your body. And that that it stays in you. So releasing emotions and freeing yourself of trauma are, I think, maybe the most important things to aging gracefully. And of course, it adds wisdom to your life when you go through emotional traumas. It's part of our lives, you know, part of what we have to go through. So.
Do you have any recommendations how to deal with difficult emotions? Like that lady you were just talking about, what did you recommend to her?
Well, she was 80, you know, and she was not interested. So, and I have 80-year-olds who are interested, you know, and want to heal. But that particular person, what she wanted was me to tell her how to take supplements and what pills to take. And of course, I prescribe supplements as, you know, as support for healing. But supplements aren't going to fix whatever it is that we're holding on the inside. You know, they're just helping to move you along or speed the process or something like that. So for her, I didn't. But I have another example of a woman who's been coughing for 10 years. She's had this cough. And she's been to literally 20 doctors, like many, many doctors. And when she came for her first visit, she was a little bit like, oh, I've tried everything, but okay, I'm going to give you a chance because I met you at some event. Okay, I'll give it a chance. And I could tell that that was her attitude. But so what I told her, because she had gone through divorce and she had gone through some traumas with her children and she had gone through, you know, taking over a business in midlife, you know, and sort of having to kind of buck up after having been a housewife for a long time. And the cough was a way of releasing emotion. So I told her that and she was like, kind of, you're crazy. but I did some work with her and it started to get better. And so like it kind of surprised her, you know, because I gave her suggestions for how to release her emotions. My free gift to you is a little recording I made of how to release emotions that are stuck in your body. So 5 ways to deal with emotional trauma or stress. But there's so many things. Movement always helps. Movement releases emotion. So yoga is a really good way because yoga works on the fascia. And it works in that layer of tissue where energy travels. And so it can help things get unstuck. Breathing, meditating, but breathing to release energy helps move emotion and helps you age gracefully. And, you know, working with your mind to change your attitude. It's easy to think negatively. You know, in our culture, there's a lot of negativity in the news. If you look at the news, there's negativity everywhere. And there's a tendency to see the darkness, you know, and to see what's not working and to see what's not good in your life. And I've lived this myself, so I understand. And it takes a bit of work to kind of push yourself to see the other side. And at least, even if your whole body hurts, at least one part of your body is probably not hurting. So if you can focus on that, focus on the good things that are happening, focus on being grateful for whatever. There's this song that is one of my many theme songs. I have theme songs that I use to keep me up, but it's called Hallelujah Anyway. It's by this woman named Candy Staton. And she talks about, you know, this isn't working and that isn't working and that isn't working, but you say thank you anyway. You say hallelujah anyway and be thankful anyway, even if it looks like things aren't working. Because why not? You know, the people who have survived cancer, people who have survived terrible things, they would have more reason to maybe be negative, but they almost always come out grateful and positive because their whole life has been transformed. So there's something to that, you know, that something to finding positivity even when it feels like it's not possible. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What does healing mean for you in the first place?
What does healing mean? For me, healing is, it's really more of healing is getting to a place where you're able to enjoy your life and that you have a fullness of life. So it's not just not being in pain. I remember years ago, I asked a group of business people, what did they think it meant to be healthy? And they said, not being in pain. Well, to me, not being in pain is not enough. It's like we all have a purpose. And so being healed means being able to live your purpose, being able to do the things that you want to do in your life, to love the people that you love, to have passion, to have energy, to have drive to do the things that you want to do. That to me is the purpose of healing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And if a patient comes to you and says, Dr. Scirocco, how can I activate my self-healing capacities? Where can I start? You already said a lot of things, but what would be a good place to start?
Always start with love. Yeah. And that's the hardest, maybe, in some ways, you know, to find the love inside of you and to bring that forth. A lot of people have a hard time loving themselves. But there's always somebody in your life that you love. Like nobody has somebody that, nobody doesn't have anybody that they love. Well, maybe they do. There are people who don't. But start with that. And if you can't focus on the love that you have for yourself, love someone else. Because love is like a boomerang. Isn't that cool? Because you give love to someone, it comes back to you. And a lot of people, when they don't feel well physically, they feel like there's no love, right? There's no wellness. And they want whoever's in their life, like say their husband or their spouse or some family member, they want that person to come and take care of them, which of course we want somebody to be there, especially when we can't do anything for ourselves. But love can also come the other way. And so when you feel poorly, if you give your partner or your family member some love, and it might be something small like a kiss, hi, honey, I'm so happy to see you, a kiss, you know, and that brings love into your life. That brings goodness into you as much as it is to that other person. And it starts to shift the energy. And that's a great starting place. So love one thing.
Yeah, that's so important. And you can also practice that with strangers. One thing I love to do is when I'm in the big city and there are a lot of homeless people there, oftentimes I go to a certain person and tell them to come with me so they can choose a meal and then they pay for the meal. And the reactions you get back, that's, you cannot describe that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Scirocco, is there anything else you want to share with us?
I think I've given so much information already, but just, I love you and I want you to think about love as a wonderful tool for healing. So I think that's the most important thing.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So much love back to you.
Thank you.
And Dr. Scirocco, if someone wants to work with you, where can people find you?
My website is hearttoheartmedicalcenter.com, and it's my business is Heart to Heart Medical Center, and it's about this, heart to heart. my book is there, and my free gift is actually probably is not there. It's separate, but it'll be on the page for your summit and how to deal with your emotions.
Wonderful. Dr. Scirocco, thank you so, so very much for sharing your time and your wisdom with us. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Many blessings your way and many blessings to everyone watching. Thank you. Bye-bye.